It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you on the final Friday of July. It's trade deadline day in Major League Baseball. It's post-draft day in the NBA. I'm Jeff Parles, in for Gil Alexander. One last time for me, in for Gil Alexander. Young Gil back next week. I know, don't all celebrate at once, but Young Gil back on Monday. Jason Kahn is here as well. It has been a fun 2 weeks, and it's going to be a fun end to my reign here on A Numbers Game. Our guy Mike Palm is going to be with us in 5 minutes from now. Of course, he hosts the Nuts on this great station, and he's the VP of Operations down at Circa and all of Derek Stevens' properties. Mark Borchard, the sports data analyst, Base Winner podcast, with us at 10:45 Eastern, and then a double dose of Paul's at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Paul Carr will have a pick for Mexico and Team USA in the Gold Cup. Also, the Team USA women survive in advance in penalty kicks over the Netherlands. So we'll get Paul's instant reaction of that win from Tokyo. And then Paul Sporer, wouldn't have been right to not have Sporer today with all the action going on in the trade deadline last night and what could happen during the show. And then JVT to talk NBA draft and what was a pretty significant deal that seems pretty darn close to be done, if it's not already done, between the Lakers and the Wizards. And let's just dive right in, because Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. linked as one yesterday with the two biggest deals in two separate sports. Let's begin in the NBA. The Lakers last night, again, not official yet, but it's going to happen. Russell Westbrook is going to be a Los Angeles Laker, along with two second-round picks in election years, 2024 and 2028, for the Lakers, getting Russell Westbrook. Going back to D.C., Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the 22nd overall pick last night in the first round, which was Isaiah Jackson out of Kentucky, who went in that one. But this fit for the Lakers with Russell Westbrook, now alongside AD and LeBron. Of course, the Lakers now 3 years with LeBron James. Year two, obviously a success. You win an NBA title in year two with LeBron with the bubble season. Years one and year three, look, you missed the playoffs in year one of LeBron. I understand LeBron got hurt, but that is something that should be absolutely impossible in the NBA. This past year, if Anthony Davis stays healthy, maybe we're talking about the Lakers going back-to-back. I think we're probably at least talking about them getting to the NBA Finals. It's just a matter of would they've been able to beat Milwaukee or not once they got there. But you look at the way Russell Westbrook plays, of course, it's just completely reestablishing the meaning of what a triple-double is. By the way, in his one season in Washington, Russell Westbrook will end up with three times as many triple-doubles as the second all-time Wizard / Bullet. Pretty impressive stuff in that regard from Westbrook, but it definitely allows Washington now to build around Bradley Beal without a salary albatross in Russell Westbrook there. And for the Lakers' perspective, it's just a matter of, will there be enough basketballs? How does Russell Westbrook fit with LeBron James? I'm not concerned about how he fits with Anthony Davis. That's not a worry to me. But how does he fit with LeBron? And I understand LeBron has played with ball-dominant guards in the past to great success. Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, now Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers in that one, that trade. Not official yet, but it's going to happen, both Woj and Shams on the reports initially. Shams actually first on the deal that Westbrook was going to go to the Lakers, because the rumor was Buddy Hield's going to go to L.A., but nope, Russell Westbrook is the one who's going to L.A. Interesting night in the NBA draft. Betting perspective-wise, the big thing betting-wise is if you followed the steam on picks 4 and 5, you lost last night. 1, 2, 3 was as expected. You had, right out of the gate, Cade Cunningham at number 1, Jalen Green number 2, Evan Mobley number 3. We expected that all happened. Toronto threw up the surprise. with Scotty Barnes at number four. Jalen Suggs fell into the lap of Orlando at number five. That's the biggest betting story tonight, that Scotty Barnes goes number four and Jalen Suggs goes number five. Both of those guys were respectively big favorites at their draft positions, at five for Barnes and four for Jalen Suggs. And, of course, going the opposite. It is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles, and now with us, it's Mike Palm. Of course, you'll find him here on VSiN, hosting the Nuts with Amal Shah, 11 a.m. Pacific time from Circa, and, of course, the VP Operations over at Circa. Mike, I want to shift over to baseball, though, because the big deal is not 100% all the way there, but it's going to happen with Max Scherzer and Trey Turner going west to the Dodgers for at least two of their biggest prospects going back to D.C., Mike. And when you saw this deal, what was your initial reaction? And then how short do you think the Dodgers get here, and how quickly does that happen in those futures markets?
Yeah, it's interesting. Jeff, good morning. Good morning to all the Numbers Games listeners. You've done a great job here filling in for Gil for a couple weeks. You know, we actually at Circus Sports moved the Padres on the thought that they were going to get Scherzer from plus 975 to plus 675 about 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Obviously, we moved them back up to close to 10 to 1. And waiting here on the Dodger deal. It's an interesting one. I mean, Scherzer's a rental, right? I mean, he's a free agent after this year. They've got no cap space at all. I mean, they're going to pay the pensions for a lot of players like the Yankees have been doing as far as they are over the cap. I like Trey Turner as part of the deal. You get a leadoff hitter, a true leadoff hitter there. I mean, if they're three to one to win the World Series, what does this make them? Maybe they come to 250. Maybe they go to 240. I think the loss of Bauer is still a huge deal. They get to move, you know, they got Duffy. They get to move Price back to the bullpen. That's been a disaster, moving Price into Bauer's spot. They've lost all four of his starts, and the bullpen's gotten appreciably worse. Still waiting to see how they're really going to shore up the bullpen to get somebody on the back end. But the Padres thought to make this deal for Scherzer now are out there looking for, I guess, Jose Berrios.
Mike, and you brought it up, the expectation in the middle of the afternoon was Max Scherzer was going to be a San Diego Padre. And, of course, that flipped not even 3 hours later. And you mentioned Jose Berrios, who seems to be the biggest pitcher now left on the board. If the Padres get Berrios here, Mike, and obviously they have good starters as well, not quite the Dodgers level now, but still pretty good. How close do you think the Padres are to LA? And, of course, I haven't mentioned the Giants, who these two teams are still trying to catch, with the Giants taking two out of three from the Dodgers this week.
Well, you know, that's the question for me. How much do you do when you're trying to get a wild card, or you know you're going to be playing in a wild card game? I mean, it's probably a 95% possibility the Padres are going to be in the wild card game, and most likely as the road team. And the way it stands now, you know, the Dodgers keep playing the Giants. They don't make up any ground. Giants take two out of three. Giants take three out of four. So, I mean, I always said, if you're going to go out and get Scherzer, it's probably to start at Chavez Ravine against Walker Buehler in a wild card game. Now, you know, if you're the Padres, what are you looking at? You're looking at starting Darvish in a wild card game against Scherzer, if that's what happens, or it still could be Walker Buehler. So I know the Padres are a totally different mindset. They're spending money. They're trying to win. They've paid a lot of money already for these free agent contracts. They went out and got Snell. They got Darvish. Big contract for Hosmer. Big contract for Machado. You got a superstar in Tatis. And the city of San Diego is so energized. I still think they have pressing needs. They need a leadoff hitter. Turner would have been great there. They still don't have a catcher. They're so weak at the catcher spot. You know, they acquired Adam Frazier. I thought maybe Kim would be the odd man out there because he's got to take time away from Wright Cronenworth. Where does Kim fit in the rotation? I think it's Hosmer's the odd man out. They're trying to deal Hosmer. His contract was front weighted, so the 4 years left are at $21 million and three at 30, at 13, so a total of 60 over 4 years. Probably trying to move Hosmer. With Rizzo going from the Cubs to the Yanks, I thought it made sense. Hosmer to the Cubs, maybe for Contreras, for the Padres to get a catcher. So there's still so many things we have to go here in the final hours before the deadline.
Mike Palm with us right now here on A Numbers Game, of course, co-host of The Nuts here on VSiN with Amal Shah. You hear that 2 to 3 Eastern time live from Circa here on the network and, of course, the VP Operations over at Circa. Mike, I just want to ask you about some of the other moves that have gone on because everyone's eyeballs, of course, on the Scherzer-Turner deal. Other than that move, what has been the move that you've thought is the one that makes the biggest impact for a team in the postseason and moving forward?
You know, the very first move of the whole trade deadline season, I thought the Rays getting Nelson Cruz, still maybe the most significant deal of all for the bat that he adds to that line. You know, they're sometimes a team that is challenged to score runs. He's a professional hitter, a great clubhouse guy, and he really stopped the A's. They stopped the A's from getting him. I think unheralded is the Cesar Hernandez move to the White Sox. You know, they've been looking for a second baseman for the majority of the season. I think that's a team that's ready to win now. You know, they've got the starting pitching, at least a top three rotation that can compete against anybody. And I think it really comes down in the American League to White Sox and Astros. Although, you know, the Red Sox aren't done, and obviously the Rays are the defending AL champs. But that's kind of an unsung move that a lot of people are talking about.
No, it's a good point, Mike, because since Madrigal went out for the White Sox, and again, we've seen other teams have positions that are black holes. Second base has been a black hole for the White Sox. I agree with you there, Mike. That Cesar Hernandez trade could actually pay pretty significant dividends for the Sox, who are currently the second favorite to win the AL pennant, Mike.
Yeah, I really do. I think that team has got all the pieces. You probably have a Cy Young winner there. I've been saying this for a month. Lance Lynn deserves the Cy Young. You saw Cole implode yesterday, and Lance Lynn's own teammate Rodon was bad in Kansas City. Lance Lynn just keeps going out there and giving a solid effort every start. I mean, the guy's got one pitch, and somehow he's dominating at this late stage of his career. So I like the fact they have La Russa. They've got a manager who's been there. They've got good young bats. They've got speed. They can run the bases. Maybe they need to shore up the bullpen a little bit. They may still have to move or two left here today, but I like the White Sox a lot.
Mike Palm with us right now here on A Numbers Game. Of course, the host of The Nuts here on this network, 2 o'clock Eastern time with Amal Shah and the VP of Operations at Circa. Mike, I want to shift over to the NHL offseason, and it's been an interesting offseason so far across the NHL, and it's really the story has been goaltenders on the move. Obviously, here in town, Marc-Andre Fleury traded to Chicago. Grubauer goes from Colorado to the Seattle Kraken. Darcy Kemper goes to the Avalanche. Peter Mrazek on the move to Toronto. Of the goaltenders that have moved this offseason, Mike, which of those moves has the biggest impact looking forward to really the Stanley Cup playoffs if we fast forward all the way to next April?
That's an interesting question because there's so many significant moves. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Knights are doing, Jeff. It's surprising to me they let Fleury go. I don't know if Fleury's going to play in Chicago. He might retire. I thought Leonard was going to be the guy on the move. I thought Leonard would end up being the Kraken's first starting goaltender. I think, you know, I don't know how good that team is with the draft, but getting Grubauer is certainly a big deal. Both of the Carolina goaltenders are very good. And I think the Red Wings improve with Nedeljkovic. Mm-hmm. You know, formerly they had Mrazek, and I think Toronto improves. I think that trade benefits Toronto, you know, acquiring Mrazek more than Carolina acquiring Anderson. So, yeah, it's certainly interesting. I guess Colorado made the decision that Grubauer was part of this reason why they just can't get over the second round hump, and they went with Kemper. Kemper, a very solid goaltender on a team that, you know, wasn't going that far. So is it an upgrade? Boy, I don't know, but maybe there's some playoff magic there that he can help him with. But and the Brassard move, what, Laurent Brassard? What the hell are the Knights doing getting Brassard? I mean, didn't they just need to replace a French speaker with a French speaker? I don't know, but that move is head scratching to me. So, but it's been very interesting. a lot of it lost in the fact you had the NBA draft and then maybe the most active Major League Baseball trade deadline ever, and we're not even done yet. So there's certainly a lot to talk about in the NHL when everything settles down here next week.
Yeah, no, hey, look, this is the one good thing with this delayed calendar, Mike. Everything's happening at once, and, of course, an NBA draft last night that, again, it was by the book for three picks, and then the guys that we expected to go 4 and 5 flipped the order. Obviously, that changed things betting-wise, but, again, a very active hockey offseason. And you brought up Carolina, Mike, because they're the one team, even more so than Vegas, because I don't have a problem with the going forward with Leonard. It just surprised me that they made that decision. But what are the Hurricanes doing here, going from having two really good goaltenders to a guy who's completely unreliable in Anderson now, Mike?
Yeah, it's a head-scratcher. And right, Dougie Hamilton's gone, mm-hmm. and just what they're doing overall has not sat well with their fan base. I mean, there's some real head scratching moves here. They went from having two good goaltenders now to not having a goaltender at all. And I argued during the playoffs, Tampa Bay's a tough team, but they might have gone to a morassic a little bit earlier. And Delkovich obviously had such a great season; it was hard to argue with letting him play. But I think they've probably hurt themselves the most of any team. In this offseason, and I know a lot of people upset with acquiring D'Angelo from the Rangers, right? I mean, when you talk about getting good locker room guys and high character guys, this is kind of the 180 from that.
Mike, I want to go over to your contest, of course, at Circa. First off, again, you continue your great run of acting in these commercials, first as Walter, and now you and Derek Stevens with the great press conference commercial that came out earlier in the week. But Mike, we're 2 days away from August, so that means we're a month away from the NFL season from getting going. How is everything going with Circa Millions 3 and, of course, Circa Survivor as well?
Good, you know, it's what are we comparing to? It's, you know, apples and oranges, because we had the pandemic, we had a shutdown for 11 weeks last year, so obviously a jump start this year on the contest, but much different goalposts. I mean, you go from guaranteeing $3 million in the millions, the main contest, and $1 million in the first year of Survivor last year, to kind of flipping it, and Derek guaranteeing $6 million in Survivor and $4 million in the Circa Million 3. The Circa Million 3 every single week so far has outpaced the Survivor. We're at 663 out of the 4,000 we need in the Millions 3. We're only at 540 out of the 6,000 we need in the Survivor. So the little bit concerning the proportions of the way it's pacing, we know that 80% of the signups are going to come in the last 3 weeks. So it's hard because right now it's a small sample size, but maybe we put the bigger guarantee in the wrong spot this year.
Well, and Mike, look, I think it has to do more of just people are creatures of habit. They're used to picking five games against the spread like the Millions contest, even though, again, to me, from a gamesmanship perspective, the Survivor contest is a lot more intriguing to me, Mike.
It is, and if I was allowed to enter, I'd enter the Survivor. Boy, beating the NFL spread is tough, but there's certain people are very good at it, and they consistently place in these contests. So obviously they know what they're doing. They have strategies like, you know, James Salinas that hosts Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard every day at noon Pacific, 3 in the East. Las Vegas Chris, who's been a guest on the show with Gil a lot, who just keeps finishing in the top 10 in these contests. But the Survivor strategy, and Derek has his chart, his board, his trifold and all this, and the bull rush and Merlin reversal and all that, it's really fun. It's really fun to do this, and the longer you get into the season, the more fun it gets. I kind of, you know, bust Derek's balls a little bit about he made it too complicated this year with the second short week with the Christmas games and the Thursday before, and then this $1 million bonus idea where if you go undefeated and you use either the Chiefs or the Buccaneers in the final week, you're eligible for the $1 million bonus and that. And say to him, it's too quirky, it's not demonstrable in that. But we'll see. You can get 6 entries in Survivor this year as opposed to 5 last year. And here's the big question, Jeff. Will the market allow an overlay? I mean, if we get down to the final week and maybe we only have 3,500 entries in Survivor – will the market tolerate, or are people going to come in and really buy a ton of entries because the overlay is possible?
Well, and you bring up a good point, Mike, because we saw that last year. There was an overlay into the last week, and it was gone pretty quickly once a lot of people realized, we got to take advantage of this potential overlay, and that was gone. And Mike, we have about a minute here. I just want to ask you this with Survivor, because week one looks like it might be the hardest week of all. I know that's normally the case, but this week one this year is pretty diabolical.
It's tough. Derek talks about, using in a game where you're going to use two teams, you're not going to use the rest of the year, the double option where you pick both teams to make sure you move on. And now if you can buy six entries, you can use a triple option. I'm thinking people are going to use that strategy with the Houston-Jacksonville game in week one and maybe take both sides of that game to make sure with two of your entries that you at least have one moving forward. My partner, Amal Shaw, who famously did his whole Survivor season on a flight back from Dallas last year and, made it pretty deep, got knocked out by the Bengals beating the Steelers on that Monday night game late in the year. He did it on the breaks of one of our shows, not knowing Christmas week was in there. But his assumption was Deshaun Watson's not playing. He picked against the Texans 12 times, so that might be a strategy as well.
Mike, I don't hate the strategy at all from Amal. He's Mike Palm. Mike, thanks for being with us this morning. When we get back, we're going to keep it rolling with MLB trade deadline talk here on A Numbers Game on VSiN.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With football season just around the corner, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports wagers from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, your betting style, you're going to love going to BetMGM with their state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 and older to place a wager, and you must be physically located in the state of Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn's here as well. It is the sweat box, literally, here at the VSiN studios today. So let's dive right in, though, to what could be an adventurous day, to put it nicely, in Major League Baseball, in what has been one of the more active trade deadlines we've already ever seen. Nelson Cruz, Anthony Rizzo, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, probably the four biggest names to go so far, and Joey Gallo. We'll make it a full five. I'll get every finger on my hand covered here. So yesterday, we were preparing for primetime action here on the network, and the thought was, all right, Anthony Rizzo to the Yankees for two of the Yankees' top 10 prospects was probably going to be the biggest move of the day. There was an anticipation that Scherzer might go to San Diego. That didn't seem that particularly close. By the middle of the show, the Turner and Scherzer swap to L.A. had appeared. And again, it's not officially done, unlike the Rizzo deal, which has already been announced by both sides. I love that deal for the Yankees, by the way, the Rizzo deal. Luke Voit, to me, was one of those guys who, even though he led the majors in homers in the 60-game season, was just a completely unsustainable player. Anthony Rizzo, even though he's had a down year, is a beautiful fit for Yankee Stadium, like Joey Gallo. Big-time left-handed power bat with that short porch. Look, I'm not sure if the Yankees are properly buying here, but they're at least buying the right pieces here to make a run for at least a one-game wildcard playoff. Again, they're 8.5 games behind the Red Sox. It's going to be very difficult for them to catch Boston the last 2 months, but they at least have made the correct moves to move themselves forward. Legitimately have the worst production out of all of baseball from left-handed hitters this year, and now you have two great hitters, and Gallo actually has been significantly better than Rizzo and may even be a better fit than Rizzo with the Yankees just because Joey Gallo is a home run hitter regardless of the ballpark. You put him in a ballpark where you just needed to get 314 down the line? That's almost not fair there with Joey Gallo. But let's go to the one, though, that really changes everything. The Nats, the Dodgers, the swap that's not officially done, but it's going to happen. Every major writer out there, Passan, Heyman, Nightingale, all pretty certain that this is going to happen here. Scherzer and Turner. Again, Trey Turner's got another year after this year on his contract. Scherzer's contract, a seven-year deal, which should only be viewed as an enormous success for the Washington Nationals, that seven-year contract to Max Scherzer, which the re-signing of Steven Strasburg doesn't look so pretty right now, but there's still time for Strasburg to get himself healthy. But seven-year contract for Scherzer, a top three pitcher in the National League over those 7 years, multiple Cy Youngs, a World Series championship, everything worth it for Max Scherzer. The Nats will get the top two prospects in the Dodgers farm system. Keibert Ruiz, the catcher, who's blocked by Will Smith, and Josiah Gray, who we just saw make his major league debut this past week for the LA Dodgers. Geraldo Carrillo and Donovan Casey, the other two pieces, apparently going to D.C. Look, for Washington, this is the end of the era. They got their championship in 2019. They went on a really bad losing streak at the wrong time leading into the deadline. Made it very easy for Washington to sell. Kyle Schwarber was also dealt to the Red Sox last night. Daniel Hudson was dealt to the Padres. So a full-blown sell in Washington, except for Juan Soto, who you're not trading Juan Soto. You can rebuild around Juan Soto and be good again pretty quickly with a few good moves in the offseason. But for the Dodgers here, who enter today three games behind the Giants, have lost two series in a row to San Francisco. This changes everything. Look, short of $2 to win the World Series wouldn't shock me. It's probably too low. But look, this roster, if they don't lose in a wild card game, the way the rotation is, even with no Trevor Bauer, that's brutal to have to face. And they're just getting healthier. Corey Seager comes back today. Mookie Betts is going to be back next week. Unbelievable roster, even better than we already had in LA. Let's go back to the NFL. Wrap up my NFL predictions for the 2021 season next here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Start your football season on the right foot as our college football betting guide here at VSiN is live. Our expert analysis has all the picks and for conference championships, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff teams, plus power ratings for every team. Now is also a great time to get your all-access VSiN subscription, including our college and pro football betting guides, along with everything we offer for the entire football season. Get your college betting guides for just $19.99 or start your free all-access trial today at VSiN.com/subscribe. When Matt Heumann says it is the best guide we have ever done at the network here at VSiN, the man only tells the truth. So trust Matt Heumann's there that this is the best guide we've ever done here at VSiN, the college football betting guide. Alive now at VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Mark Borchard will be with us in a few minutes to give his baseball plays of the day. It's going to be an NL West flair for Mr. Borchard today. It'll be a fun time there. Let's go back to the NFL. We've been going through my predictions through the last 2 weeks here for me being in for Gil. Let's go to the awards segment of the program here before giving away my final predictions for everyone at the in the second hour of the program. Let's go to NFL MVP. Of course, all these odds from BetMGM, as of course they're presenting today's show and every show here on A Numbers Game. Let's go right to it. Patrick Mahomes. I know it's a shocker. Patrick Mahomes is your betting favorite to win MVP at BetMGM at 5-1. Aaron Rodgers, 8-1. Josh Allen, 12-1. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray at 14-1. Tom Brady, 16-1. And Matthew Stafford at 18-1. With an interesting collection of quarterbacks at 20-1. Here's my question. How did Christian McCaffrey slide into 25-1? How did that happen? He's no chance to win this award. He's no chance. Don't bet Christian McCaffrey. I'm just telling you like right now, don't bet it. Sam Darnold is apparently struggling at camp right now for Carolina, and you can't bet on a guy who may not stay healthy. Derrick Henry also 25-1. Again, running backs, you should not bet to win this award. Adrian Peterson was the last one to do it, and he ran for over 2,000 yards that year. Derrick Henry didn't even sniff it with an all-time great season last year. Running backs can't win this award anymore unless there's something really goes haywire in the quarterbacking market. And you look at the other quarterbacks here. Carson Wentz at 30-1. Carson Wentz really shorter than Baker Mayfield? That's interesting. Mayfield at 40-1 at BetMGM. Deshaun Watson, who is at training camp at 50-1, along with Derek Carr and Joe Burrow and Jameis Winston and Tua Tagovailoa and Matt Ryan and Jimmy G. And then everyone else is longer than 50-1. Dalvin Cook is another running back at 50-1. Don't bet running backs. As you look at this board, there are two names that present value. I know it's hard to say bet one of the short shots, and there are better numbers than 8-1 out there. So go shop around. But if you can get Aaron Rodgers in the camp of 12-1, where Josh Allen is right now at BetMGM, this is a scenario for me where Aaron Rodgers is back on the word I can't say on the air you scenario this year. And it's at his own franchise. To me, Aaron Rodgers winning back-to-back MVPs is squarely in play. And this quote-unquote saga ended up being nothing. It was a nothing burger. He still reported for training camp in time. Who cares that he missed a few OTAs and a few mandatory minicamps? Who cares? No one had anything last year preparing for the season, and Aaron Rodgers still had arguably his best season ever as an NFL quarterback. If you can get Aaron Rodgers at 12-1, that's the number I think I'd buy at Rodgers. Even 10-1, I'd really consider it. No one else on that first page really interests me. Matthew Stafford's the only one that is worth a thought. If you think the Rams are going to be really good like I do, I have the Rams getting the number one seed, it's probably on the back of Stafford being a massive improvement over Jared Goff. So Stafford would be worth at least a little bit of a look, like a little bit more than 18-1, but it's not a bad number. To the second page here. Baker Mayfield, 40-1. I have Cleveland winning 13 games. But I'm pretty sure if you think Cleveland's going to be as good as I do, Baker Mayfield is an obligation at 40-1. Now, there are some concerns here. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, probably the best running back duo in the NFL. We saw Cleveland be willing to run the ball a ton behind it, arguably the best offensive line of football. That is the only concern with betting Baker Mayfield in this market, is that Cleveland will run the ball too much. Now, we know this is an award voted on by the writers. Narratives matter. If Cleveland gets an AFC North crown, or even, heck, not impossible here, get the number one seed in the AFC, especially if they somehow go to Kansas City and win week one. 40-1 is a really good number on a guy who I think is going to be on a top three team in the NFL. So Baker Mayfield at 40-1, I'm not sure he gets there. But at that number, that's worth the play on Baker Mayfield. Let's go to another award. Let's see what producer number 7, Jason Kahn, has cooked up for us as the second one. All right, so this is a simple handicap on your screen. AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's running backs, and it's quarterbacks that start from the get-go usually in this award. Trevor Lawrence, your favorite at 3-1. Najee Harris, 6-1. And then this is where the odds get a little confusing to me. Trey Lance and Justin Fields aren't going to start week one. How are they shorter than Zach Wilson, who, by the way, the Jets finally signed a deal with Wilson yesterday, and he's in training camp? We know Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are starting week one. Those are the only two rookies we know for certain. Zach Wilson at 9-1, 10-1, there's some 10-1 out there. Zach Wilson's a pretty reasonable bet there because you know he is going to start from the get-go. And the Jets are supposed to be terrible again. And if the Jets are even average and go over a win total of 6.5, and if somehow the Jets are in competition for a playoff berth, it means Zach Wilson had a pretty good season in his rookie campaign. Again, I'm not certain of how good Zach Wilson's going to be. That's the whole game here. And I understand, look, the Jets, Mark Sanchez was good really for 1 year, even though the Jets made back-to-back AFC championship games with him. Darnold was a bust except for maybe about 6 games at the end of his rookie season. I have no idea what Zach Wilson's going to be. But at 9-1 or 10-1 on a quarterback in a rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year market that you know is starting from week one on, that's too high of a number, especially when Trey Lance and Justin Fields are shorter. Zach Wilson would be the bet I would make here. Also, look, if you want to take Trevor Lawrence at 3-1, I have no problem with that. You know he's playing right away. And Trevor Lawrence will probably be good. And also, too, I think Jacksonville gets off to a good start. So that number's not going to be there for that long. Mark Borchard, Base Winner Podcast, trying to give away some winners today in Major League Baseball. We'll also ask him his thoughts on the Max Scherzer-Trey Turner deal going from the Nats to the Dodgers. That's next on the Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Turn a $1 wager on the Cardinals or the Twins into $100 with BetMGM if either team hits a home run. Like your chances with that Twins offense and that Twins pitching staff involved there in that one tonight. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up for the King of Sportsbooks and get ready for showtime. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for details. And make sure you use that promo code VSIN100. That's VSIN100. It's a new customer offer only, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to place a wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270 for confidential help. Excuse me, 1-800-270-7117. It would help if I gave out the phone number for the confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Indiana, call 1-800-9 with it, and the promotional offer not available in Nevada. It is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and now with us, it is Mark Borchard. Of course, I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Mark Borchard, though, at Base Winner on the tweets, Clear Data Sports, Base Winner Podcast. Mark, before we get into your two plays of the day, which have a nice NL West flavor for today, Mark, just have to ask you on the trade deadline, which has been very active the last day, Anthony Rizzo goes to the Yankees. Joey Gallo goes to the Yankees, but the biggest blow of all, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner seem to be going to L.A. And, Mark, the Dodgers have always been a big favorite in your numbers to win the division. When you put Scherzer and Turner in, and I'm not sure if you've done it yet, how do you expect those numbers to change? And, of course, the Dodgers are still trying to catch San Francisco out west.
Well, Jeff, it'll be interesting to see if that trade gets completed. I thought Scherzer was a Padre yesterday by all accounts. So I think what we have to do, and this is kind of what I'm going to do with this, is I'm going to wait till Monday, shuffle everything around in the simulation. I can, and it's going to be interesting for me to be able to compare the simulation percentages that I have today versus the simulation percentages that I have on Monday. Right now, I have the Dodgers winning that division 66.1% of the time, Padres 21.4%, and the Giants 12.5%. So I might just publish a chart that shows, hey, these are the percentages for the division as of Friday, and then when all this stuff gets hashed out, and I don't know what to believe anymore, Jeff. I thought Tyler Anderson was going to the Phillies, and Pittsburgh kind of underhanded them, and so he did didn't go there. So I think the best thing to do is to this is what it is before all this stuff gets shaken out, and then redo it on Monday, and I'll talk about it up with Gil on a numbers game on Tuesday.
It'll be a very interesting weekend for you, Mark, because we're still a few hours away from the deadline. Mark, at this point, Chris Bryant has to be the biggest name that gets moved at this point, him or Craig Kimbrell, right?
Yeah, I like Kimbrell. I think that he can really add some value to these crappy bullpen teams like the Philadelphia Phillies, who I'm like really high on. If they can get that piece, that would really help them out. We talked about this last week on the show. Like, I had Philly kind of like mid-level to lower level. Well, they're progressing to lower level very fast, and I just don't think that having Ranger Suarez as your closer, I just don't think that's a viable option. So there's been some discussion about Kimbrell to the Phillies, and personally, I'd love to see it, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Borchard with us right now here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mark, let's get into your plays. NL West flair. Let's start in the Bay. Let's go to San Francisco, the Giants and the Astros, two first-place teams. Giants coming off taking 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers this week. Kevin Gausman and a pretty good, pretty juicy price on Gausman. You're laying less than $1.30, -128 on the Giants at home with a total of 7.5 for this one. Framber Valdez will go for Houston tonight, Mark.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty interesting price, Jeff. And I think a lot of the people, including myself, are looking for this Giants team to regress. But I don't think it's going to happen tonight. And we have a huge advantage. And I was really surprised when I took a look at this game on Framber Valdez's 3-metric rating that I have for him. And that takes in an expected strike rate, expected strike percentage that correlates to expected strikeout percentage, and then hard hit per nine and expected walk rate. And he's a 33rd percentile pitcher, which I thought was really interesting. And then you got Gausman at a 95 percentile pitcher. And that's a huge advantage in that 3-metric chart. And then you take a look at the base winner ERA. I've got Gausman at 3.65, which is kind of higher than a lot higher than his ERA. His ERA is 2.21. But Valdez, I have at 4.45. So we get an advantage there. And I think this is an opportunity. The one thing that I think is going to happen with San Francisco is I think their bullpen is going to start imploding. And I have them rated on that 3-metric chart, the bullpen of the Giants, at 17th in baseball over the last 30 days. And while Houston's at 6th in baseball. So that's a little concerning on this play. I think we'll get some depth from Gausman, so we'll see the top end of the Giants bullpen, and that'll be better for that particular play. But I think for those reasons, particularly the starting pitching, I think this is a good opportunity to back the Giants.
Mark, let's go down to Southern California. The Padres are hosting the Rockies. John Gray seems to be staying put in Colorado. That seems to be the word out of Denver. Trevor Story would be the big name that could go from the Rockies before the deadline this afternoon. But John Gray is going to be on the bump for Colorado facing Ryan Weathers. You're looking at a derivative here. You're looking at a first five play here for Colorado and the Padres today.
Yeah, I think the first five is the way to go. And look, I don't think John Gray's any prize. He's a 46th percentile pitcher by that 3-metric chart. But Weathers, I have an 11th percentile pitcher in that 3-metric chart. You know what I did in my model is I put the full game into a 5-innings kind of condensed version. And I've got this thing priced at Colorado -103 with these two pitchers pitching. And, I mentioned the 3-metric rating, and we have an advantage there. But if you take a look at the overall base winner rating, John Gray at 4.79, and you think, well, that's not that great base winner. Why are you playing him? But if you take a look at Ryan Weathers is 5.61. So we almost have a full run advantage in the base winner ERA chart. And one thing I did want to mention about this game is Gray has pitched better recently. In his last four outings against the Diamondbacks, he was a 68th percentile pitcher. In against the Padres, the same team, he's a 65th percentile pitcher. And then the Dodgers, he back-ended two games against the Dodgers, a home and away. He was an 87th percentile pitcher and a 66th percentile pitcher. So he's actually been a little bit better than he has been all year. And, Jeff, for all those reasons, I'm going to go with the Rockies Plus 165, first five innings.
Yeah, that one was one I gravitated to this morning, just looking at it on my own, even before you sent our picks, your picks into Jason Kahn. Just look, a scenario where Colorado, even though the Rockies have just been putrid on the road, it has gotten a little bit better. And again, it's hard to get much worse when you start your road season 6-31 like they did.
Yeah, they just, you know, that's concerning in this play because they just don't hit very good on the road. But you can't overlook the starting pitcher disparity at a price of plus 165. I think the other thing you can do is you can take it on the five inning plus a half. That wouldn't be a bad idea as well, Jeff.
Absolutely. You probably get a pretty good price on a plus a half, a nice little small plus price on that plus a half in the first five run line for Colorado if you want to do that instead. He's Mark Borchardt. Get him on the tweets at Base Winner, the Base Winner podcast, cleardatasports.com. Mark, thanks for hanging out with us this morning, and you get Gil next week. So thanks for hopping on these last 2 weeks with me.
Thank you, Jeff. You did such a great job filling in for the voice of sports betting. I appreciate being on the show.
Thank you, Mark. And yes, Gil is the true voice of sports betting. That is 100% true, Mark, all over that for sure. The Giants full game tonight and the Rockies in the first five, the two plays for Mark Borchardt. Jason Kahn, let's go back to some NFL awards here. We have about 2 minutes before we get to our guy, Paul Carr. Of true media sports. He'll have a play on Mexico USA as both teams escape with late goals last night in the Gold Cup. We'll also get his thoughts of Team USA in the Olympics penalty kicks. Megan Rapinoe, the one that put the icing on the cake for Team USA surviving against the Netherlands in a bracket that opened up significantly this morning with a big upset at the top of it. But let's go in. Let's do some rookie awards here in the next 90 seconds. AP Defensive Rookie of the Year, and I'm happy Jason picked this one because this is one I can get through pretty quickly because this market's completely unbettable for me. And you look at the numbers. First off, Micah Parsons, I understand why he's 4-1, but that number's way too short. I don't think anyone should be south of 8-1 in this market because it's pretty wide open. Quiddy Pay out of Michigan, who went to the Indianapolis Colts, is intriguing because him and DeForest Buckner on that same defense, he's going to get opportunities because all the attention is going to be on Buckner there in Indianapolis. But this is a pretty difficult market to play. It's hard for a corner to win this award. As much as I would like to take a J.C. Horn or a Surtain II or a Newsom II, it's just hard to take a corner in this market. So for me, these numbers, not really bettable. If you made me play it, I would take Quiddy Pay. That would be the bet I would make. Should be able to have an immediate impact in Indianapolis. And also, too, it's hard for a middle linebacker to win this award. So that's why Micah Parsons is a short shot. Just not worth it. Not worth the play there. The Dallas Cowboy out of Penn State. Paul Carr, Paul Spoor, double the Paul, double the fun. Coming up here at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get Paul Carr's pick on Mexico USA right out of the gate as we continue on here on a Friday edition of A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.